Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together because we seek your mercy and grace in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask that your Spirit would now guide me and the others who speak, guide our prayers, guide your people gathered here. Please have mercy on us, answer our prayers, do your good work amongst us so that we might serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've gathered here this morning to ask God to hear our prayers for one another and particularly to hear our prayers for healing. And this is something that Christians have done since the time of Jesus. It's not something new or unusual. It's not something we here at St. Alfred's have created. It's not radical. It's actually something that Christians have been doing since the time of the early church. And so we continue to offer prayer for one another in expectation that God will hear us and answer our prayers. So we come in faith and hope this morning. The reading we've just heard from Isaiah chapter 53 includes a statement in verse 5 which says, "By his wounds we are healed." There's no mention of Jesus in the reading for the obvious reason that this was written centuries before Jesus lived. But even still, centuries and centuries before Jesus came, Isaiah, a prophet, someone gifted by God to see the things that God wants his people to know, he sees this glimpse of someone that God is going to send, someone who Isaiah describes as a servant, and someone whom we read here will suffer terribly. The commentators on this passage and others in Isaiah therefore call this person the suffering servant. And yet it's someone that Isaiah can say, "By his wounds we are healed." At this stage in the history of God's people, they're not sure who Isaiah is talking about. We have to wait till the New Testament in order to find out that the person that Isaiah sees and glimpses is actually Jesus himself. For example, in Acts 8, an Ethiopian government official, presumably Jewish, is reading this passage of scripture, but is uncertain who Isaiah is talking about. Then he meets an early Christian called Philip, and he says to Philip, "Who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else?" And Philip says to the Ethiopian government official, "The person Isaiah is talking about is actually Jesus." That's in Acts 8, verse 35. And you'll find in the New Testament, this very passage from Isaiah is referred to a number of times. Luke in chapter 22 of his gospel, John in chapter 12 of his gospel, and Paul in the letter to the Romans in chapter 10. And every time they refer to this passage, the New Testament writers say, this is about Jesus. This person who is going to come, by whose wounds we are healed, is none other than Jesus, this suffering servant. It's by his wounds, Jesus' wounds, we are healed. Now, what are those wounds? They're described quite graphically in this passage, don't you think, in Isaiah? It says this person, this servant, is going to suffer like this. He's going to be wounded in the following ways. He will be despised and rejected. He will be struck. He will be punished. He will be pierced. He will be crushed. And he will be afflicted. Just in the next verse that we didn't read this morning, verse 7, it says he will even be killed, led like a lamb to slaughter, verse 7. Now, all of those descriptions clearly allude to the last week of Jesus' life and then to his actual death. And you might ask, how do we benefit then from Jesus' suffering and death? Well, Isaiah describes this a number of ways. A number of ways that we human beings benefit from the fact that this person suffers on our behalf. He describes it like this. He takes up our infirmities, another word for illness. He carries our sorrows. He lifts the burden of sin off us. In Isaiah, they're described as transgressions or iniquities. He brings us peace and he offers us healing. Verse 5. And all this happens because of the fact that this person, Jesus, suffers in our place. It's the language of substitution. Jesus suffers so that we might know God's peace. He dies so that we might live. His suffering and death therefore changes things. His wounds bring healing, his death brings life. Now, at the deepest level, we're talking here about atonement, about reconciliation between human beings and our holy God. That's a form of spiritual healing. By his wounds, we are reconciled to God. But flowing out of that primary and necessary spiritual healing, Christ's death opens up the potential for healing in other areas of life: physical healing, emotional, and relational healing. And all of this is possible only because of Jesus. It's by his wounds we are healed. Now, you've come today to church with all sorts of issues and concerns. Some of you will want prayer for yourself. Some of you might want prayer for somebody else. Whatever your needs, whatever the concerns are, whatever's on your heart, you're invited this morning to come and receive prayer. And we here at St. Alfred's offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself says in the Gospels, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Who wouldn't want that rest? When you are carrying the burden of ill health or a troubled mind, when your spirit is in turmoil, or you're losing sleep due to stress, when you have fear in your heart, or you don't know which way to go, what way to choose, or you're full of regret, or the doctors even are uncertain what advice to give you, who would reject the peace that Jesus offers if you're in any of those situations? This morning, the prayer teams will stand with you as ambassadors for Christ, willing to pray for you for whatever it is that is your need. And they do that in the name of Jesus. We do this as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're ordinary human beings like all of you, but we're praying in the name of Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, praying for your healing and encouragement. We believe that God is a good God. Paul says that God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, and it's to that God that we bring all our concerns. So we will stand with you before our good God, asking that his mercy and grace will be poured out on you for your particular needs. We come acknowledging the saving and healing work of Christ. It's in his name we'll pray for you, and whatever happens is in God's hands. However long it takes is in God's hands. Our job is to pray. And may all the glory go to Christ Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. It's by his wounds we are healed. Now, to encourage you a little bit more and to make this a little bit more concrete, because, you know, the theology that I've given might not inspire you so much, unless you're that tuned that way. But it's important to set the, you know, to create the, or to clear the air and set the sort of the ground rules. It's in Jesus' name we're doing all of this. But to make it a little bit more concrete, I've asked a few people if they'd come and just tell a very brief story of how God has worked in their lives recently. And so there are four people who volunteered to do that. And after that, we'll hear from Ginny and the prayer teams who've been praying for you before the service about the senses they've had of things that we could pray for. So would the four folk who I've invited come forward? And we'll hear a little bit from you.
Hello, I just want to share one healing that God's done for me. On the way to church one morning, I started getting a really sore throat. And I thought, well, when I get home, I'll take some tablets, cold and flu tablets, I'll get rid of it. That morning, as I was in the service, I sat through it, it started getting worse, and I was having real trouble swallowing. I could feel the glands expanding and getting increasing. You know what it's like. I thought, no, God, I've got three important catering gigs to do, and I don't need to be down with tonsillitis. It happened to be a healing service, and when Ginny spoke of those that the prayer team had been given prior to the service, who should come forward for prayer, one was a sore throat. Now, I was on morning tea duty, and I thought, I haven't got time. I haven't got time. But after I completed the work in the kitchen, I went forward, and I was the last person prayed for. As I prayed, as the people prayed over me, I felt this warm feeling through my throat. And when I was in the car going home, I started to be able to swallow normally. I had a houseful coming for lunch from family, so that was a relief. I really thank God that he answered the prayer so quickly and I was able to do what I needed to do. You know, nothing's too small or insignificant for our mighty God.
Last year, I came forward for prayer at one of these services, and I'd been struggling for about 12 months with an injured foot. And then the following morning, the foot was okay. And I was surprised, and that's significant. That's a very significant reaction when I continue telling them what further happened. And so for that day, I sort of questioned it and asked God if it was a healing and whatever else was going through my mind. And then the next day, the healing, the injury was back. And that confused me as well. So I went to God in prayer and just asked him what all that was about. And I got a question, and the question was, Joyce, will you accept your healing? And I thought, of course, I came, you know. But anyway, when I went further into prayer with him, it was revealed to me that while I fully expected God to heal other people, I wasn't absolutely sure that he would heal me. And so I needed to confess that and to repent of it and to ask his forgiveness. And then eventually I did get that healing. But then before Christmas last year, I injured my knee, which was even worse, and it really restricted all my movement. And I went to my hairdresser a few weeks ago, and she's a girl I've been involved with in prayer ministry for quite a long time, and I was sharing that with her, and she, as she was cutting my hair, she just said, well, Joyce, let's do it now. And so she prayed a very short prayer quietly in the salon with everybody else around. And she prayed for physical healing of my knee, but also for God to further heal my mind and to reveal anything that may be hidden in my subconscious that might be hindering my walk with him. And the next morning I woke, and I was aware that I'd slept or had an undisturbed sleep, which I hadn't since before Christmas. I got up and the healing was there. So I could accept that. I didn't hesitate to accept that and to thank God for that. And my next thought was, I must tell Judy, my hairdresser. And as fast as that was there, the words came into my mind, perhaps you should wait and just make sure. And I knew what that was. I knew, I just knew who it was. And I was able to reject those words in the name of Jesus. And my healing is complete. And thanking God just seems such an insignificant thing. It's just so much more. I've had physical healing and so much more. Thank you.
About a year ago or maybe more, I was sitting happily in a service, not a healing service, not particularly feeling sick or anything, and I saw Jeanette Catherine Nathan walking to the front at the end of the service, and I thought, oh, God's spoken to her, she's got something to share. And as soon as I thought that, I was overwhelmed by the sense that whatever she says, it's about me. And that was a weird thought, and I waited to hear what she was going to say. And she said, I've had a sense that somebody here has a pain in their right arm and God wants to heal you. Well, sure enough, for over a year, I had this really bad pain up here, and I couldn't even push my hands together or open a tap without it really hurting. And the doctor said it would eventually go away and it might take 6 or 8 months or whatever. And I had prayed about it, but it hadn't gone away. So I duly went up to Jeanette and said, I really think that you need to pray for me. So she did pray for me, and interestingly, amazingly, it went away instantly. And I'd had it for over a year. But that's not the end of the story. About a week later, that pain came back. And I'd had it every day for over a year. And a week later it came back, and I thought, well, that's weird. Why would God want to heal my arm and then have the pain come back? And I had to make a decision as to what I would do and think about that. And I just decided that if that was God's choice, that he wanted to heal my arm, I was going to just pray that that would be so and ignore that pain and just say, well, Lord, you've healed it. I put my faith in you. I believe that you wanted to heal my arm. And interestingly, over the next couple of days, it did go away again and has never come back. And I don't understand all these things, but it seemed to be that that was tested and my arm is fine now, and I'm thankful to God for that.
A few years ago, I felt the calling out of my existing work to become a spiritual director, that someone who walks with people, helping them to become aware of the presence and hand of God in their lives. And I started the course, but I've struggled with so many irrational fears. I will go into the practice sessions as director and be so full of performance anxiety that fear drowned out God's voice. I just couldn't hear it. And it also took my voice. I couldn't speak. I was so scared of being seen, of messing up, of failing. And a few weeks ago, the study began again. And each morning they have a Eucharist before class. You don't have to go. But this morning I felt a real calling and a deep need to go. And the priest said, today, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to read the gospel of the bleeding woman. And he invited us to bring the broken part of us that needed healing to touch the fringe of Jesus' shawl. And he produced a prayer shawl that obviously wasn't the one Jesus was wearing, but it was one like he would have worn. And he invited us to come and touch it if we felt led to. Well, I went into prayer and I asked God, what part do I bring? There's only 1,000 of them. And immediately the unseen, terrified child came to mind. And she came to touch Jesus' hem, and she's been buried a long time. And in my prayer, Jesus turned immediately and saw me, and he said, I see you. I have always seen you. Still, I was too scared to go up to the front of everyone else and touch it. But at communion, I went up and I touched it as I went past. And I immediately felt that tingling right through me that happens every time Holy Spirit does anything. I didn't feel not scared at that moment, but I felt peace. And I spent some more time with Jesus and the shawl, just feeling peaceful. Well, I went into the next session as director. And for the first time in my whole life, and it's quite a while, I felt no fear. I heard God so clearly, and I was able to speak without reservation. And the direction session was just such a total transformation. And I just can't tell you how big that is to me, to not feel afraid after a lifetime of being afraid. Of how big that is to be in this place of freedom with no fear. Praise God.
Can you thank our four speakers? Thank you. We're not telling you those stories to say God does it in the same way every time. God does different things with different people over different lengths of time. But God does act. God does hear our prayers. So we encourage you this morning, if you've come with a need, don't feel shy. Nothing is too big, nothing is too small. You may even be here this morning, you're not even sure who God is. That's okay, the prayer teams are sure who God is, and they will be the ones praying for you. So don't hesitate to come when Mike invites you to do that.